The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, thanks so much for staying with us and listening to us at all times. Whenever we're available, I know many of you out there listening to us, so thank you for that. We have a brand new guest joining us, and I'm so thrilled to introduce you to her. We've just been chatting before we came on the air, and I'm going to be very, very honest. I had to ask her, how do you pronounce your surname, Joanna? And we went through some very funny things, and she's got a great sense of humor, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Joanna Harabedian. There you go. Did I get it right, Joanna?
You did. Excellent, Molly. Great job.
I'm dreadful at names. You know, my name is Molly Smith, and sometimes I don't know how to pronounce Smith. So that's as bad as I am. But Joanne, it's so great to have you on the program. You came to our attention because I guess you've written a new book, and we're always, always looking for people to interview about books, because if it's a good book, we want to hear about it. We want to know where it is. We want to send our listeners to that book so that they can have something good to read in this day and age when there is so much garbage out there, so much garbage. So it's so great to have you on. But what we're going to do is first, we're going to start with Joanna. Who are you? Let's work out all this out so the people can get excited. I'm thrilled when the more I read about what you're doing, it's a great idea. It's a wonderful ministry. So who is Joanna?
Well, Molly, thank you for having me on your show today. It's such an honor. And let me tell you, I want to thank you for the incredible work that you do for our country and, you know, for everyone. So thank you. It's an honor to be here. So to answer your question, who is Joanna Harabedian? Well, I am married to Dr. David Harabedian, my knight in shining armor. And yes, I have just released a new book, and I'm going to go a little cliche. The book is called 7 Mistakes Women Make That Repel Good Men and How to Reverse It. And people can go to 7mistakesbook.com and check it out. But one of the reasons I wrote the book and why I called David my knight in shining armor is because I initially married Mr. Wrong. And in my first marriage. And the second day after we were married, Mr. Wrong said, I don't love you anymore. And needless to say, that was the beginning of hell for me at that time in my life. And long story short, I went through a lot of things. I ended up escaping that marriage. And so I found myself finally on the floor, crying my eyes out, you know, with those ugly cry moments with God. And I said, and this is after the divorce was final. And I said, God, how did I end up in this mess? How did I pick a man like this? Why did I even marry this man? And so I asked God to hold up a mirror to my face, a spiritual mirror, and show me myself. And let me tell you, that took a lot of courage to do that, Molly, because mm-hmm. it's not easy to look at yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I did, and that mirror was held up, and that was the beginning of an incredible journey. Now, the surprising thing for me, once I had been healed from the trauma I went through in that marriage and everything, and I was ready to find someone, it turned out that I kept staying single. 3 years went by, 4 years, 6 years, 7 years, and time started ticking. And so during this single journey that I was on, it was really a journey of inner transformation for me. And I began to ask, okay, what am I doing? Why am I repelling these men who seem good? And I went through all the phases you go through when you're single. And as things began to be highlighted, and I began that inner soul journey to find out what's on the inside, I began to have these revelations. And I realized that there were 7 key mistakes that were keeping me single and also that had contributed that in my part to the demise of my first marriage. So we have 2 coins, Molly. We have 1 coin. One side of the coin is the woman's side. The other side of the coin is the men's side. And each of us is 100% responsible for our actions and our choices and the things that we believe about others and ourselves. So I had to take responsibility for my side of the coin. So it didn't excuse any of the awful things that happened or, you know, the behaviors that Mr. Wrong had done. That didn't change. But what I had to do is I had to look at myself. What part did I play? And so my book at 7mistakesbook.com is about helping women get to a place, if they're divorced, okay, what was my part in the failure of the marriage? Where might I have contributed to that demise in some of the things that I did that I didn't realize that I was doing? Because I didn't realize I was making these mistakes. And so as we go through that process and we give ourselves permission to change our mind, given new information, and have courage, practice courage to look at ourselves, it's really freeing. And it's amazing because what happens is things begin to shift in your life. So for example, one of the things that I talk about in the book is called the Witham syndrome. What's in it for me? And currently in this culture, you know, the last few years, America has been through a lot. We've had these vaccine mandates. States have shut down. We've had lockdowns. You know, we've had our constitution's been eroding. You know, all these things have played into the demise of relationship, of family mm-hmm. dynamic, which is the core, the fabric of our country. And so, but one of the things that's really been prevalent currently, along with all that trauma, is this Witham syndrome. What's in it for me? So you have a healthy Witham, which is having a mindset that is of mutual give and take. Then you also have a mindset which is not healthy, which is it's all about taking. It's an expectation of what somebody's going to do for you, and you're not going to give back. And so initially when I married Mr. Wrong, in my journey of transformation, I realized that I had the Witham syndrome, meaning that my intention, my heart's desire on the inside was what he was going to do for me, how he's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to help my dreams come true. And how many times have you heard a friend say, well, I just want a man to take care of me? Well, that's an example of a Witham syndrome. So, and it also put an incredible amount of pressure on Mr. Wrong to expect him to fulfill those things within me that he really couldn't. So that I didn't start out right, but of course I didn't realize it. You know, I wasn't intentionally doing it, but this is a huge area right now where in our culture, it's all about how someone else can serve us, not how we can serve each other.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I think this is the culture. It's the culture right now is very much of a selfish culture. And I was just reading an article the other day about the fact that, you know, our generation X's and our generation Z's and all of these generations have coming through in the last 2 decades, perhaps, are very actually not so way socially inept because all they do is they do all the social media stuff and they don't really interact with the world. And it sounds to me like that's what, you know, what you're talking about here as well. We are so mm-hmm. self-focused. We are so self-focused. All of us, I think, in mm-hmm. many ways. So this is amazing. I'm loving it. I'm really going to, I'm going to put this up there. Folks, we will have the website on our website, fromthemedian.org, so that you can go there and look at the book and purchase it because I think it's great. Very, very needed. The more, you know, when I heard that you've written this book and, you know, we were contacted to have you on the program, I started looking at it and I thought, well, I don't know that this has got too much to do with us, you know, with what I'm doing. And then I started looking into it. Oh my goodness. Yes, it does. It does, because honestly, Joanna, until we fix relationships, particularly marriage relationships, we are never going to fix the life movement, because more than 80%, 70 to 80% of abortions take place on women who are not married. That's our problem right there. So, you know, I look at this. You then go on chapter 2 and 3, which I loved, you know, when I'm reading through this, chapter 2 and 3 focus on You know, who is the good you inside there? And I'm probably messing up how I'm
the beautiful you.
Yeah, the beautiful you.
The beautiful you.
And the second and the third chapter is about the man. You know, who is this king that you're, you know, that you're going towards? Tell us a little bit about those two issues.
Yes. We know David and I, my husband, we travel. We're in ministry. We have a virtual church media, that's online. And in all of our travels, I have to say one of the largest areas, one of the top two areas that I see women struggle with. And this was me, by the way. This is why I could write this book, because I made every mistake in this book. And second, I struggled with my identity in the past and who I was. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel deserving, you know? And so I wrote chapter two as a keystone, because chapter two is called The Beautiful You. And oftentimes when we make mistakes, you know, and then we're sorry we made them, it can be very difficult to forgive yourself, especially if you have gone and you've had an abortion in the past, or you terminated your pregnancy, then, you know, women can often struggle with that guilt. And so in chapter two in The Beautiful You, I address that issue in learning how to forgive yourself, but also to acknowledge how beautiful you are on the inside out. And I have a prayer that I pray over women in that chapter, for them to pray to themselves as if I'm praying it to them. And it's reminding them who they are, that you are beautiful inside and out, and that you are created in God's image. And you see, a lot of times when we go through trauma, we go through things, those circumstances shape who we get back to that place of who we really are as being created in the image of God. And I liken it to this. Every single one of us is like a diamond, because we all have the facets of heaven represented within us. Each one of us has these unique, beautiful gifts that we've been given that no one else has. And one of the areas that, you know, women are known for is competing and jealousy. So I always talk about that we complement and complete each other, not compare and compete. And so if we get to that place where we complement and complete each other, then we together, we're better. We are then coming together instead of tearing each other down through jealousy or trying to steal somebody else's husband. It was interesting in the statistics that I was researching for this book, 49% of women have tried to take another woman's man.
Wow.
Now, statistically speaking, a man, it's like a 3-5% chance that a man will actually leave his wife to go to the woman. But why is that woman trying to take someone else's man? Because, in my opinion, she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't believe she can have what someone else has. She's bought into the lie that a good man is not available. Good men don't exist anymore. I fell into that trap where I had my moments where I would struggle, like, well, how come I can't attract a good man like her? You know, and I would have to overcome that jealousy of what someone else had that I didn't have. But as I began to study and look at women and study women who had a good marriage, who had a good relationship, what were they saying? What were they doing? What kind of frequency did they emanate that came from their heart? Because our heart, I don't know if you know this, Molly, but our heart emanates a magnetic field that can span out 6 feet from us.
Wow. Wow.
And right. And so whatever's inside your heart is being emanated. People can't see it, but they can feel it. So if I'm carrying a frequency inside my heart where I don't feel worthy, or I'm filled with rage, or I'm filled with jealousy, or I have bitterness in my heart from a past, you know, experience that I haven't dealt with, that's going to emanate, and that will repel a good man, or if he's healthy, or and can sour a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example to this. So I knew a woman, she's no longer here. She passed away, last year. And I knew her for many, many, many years, her and her husband. And unfortunately, and I talk about this in my book, unfortunately, she had a previous marriage and she was wounded in that marriage, but she never dealt with it. And so she carried all the bitterness and the rage that she had inside her heart to this next marriage. And she was married for her husband for 25 years. And it was a terrible marriage. He was miserable and she was miserable. But here's why. Because she refused to look at herself. Mm-hmm. She was unwilling to give herself permission to change, given new information. And everything that her husband did was wrong. She would shame him publicly. she would humiliate him. And this is going to tie into the kingmaker. She would humiliate him and demean him. And it was a form and a way to control him. So nothing he did was right. So if he took out the trash, but didn't put the trash bag in the trash can, well, why didn't you put the trash bag back in the trash can? You always do that. Instead of acknowledging that he took the trash bag or he took the trash out and thank him for that and appreciate him. So it's those little things, little keys unlock big doors. And big doors swing on small hinges.
Yeah.
And so she continued to do this. And so she finally came to me when, because then he would start lying and say he did something when he didn't, because he didn't want to incur her wrath. And then he would take off and go on trips and do ministry. And she'd disappear for a couple of weeks because he couldn't stand being around her, but he couldn't talk to her either because no matter what he said, he was lying or he was wrong and he's this and that. So she came to me and she said, Joanna, you know, he's lying to me and he's doing all these things and, you know, he's mistreating me. Now I knew both of them. So I knew that what she was exaggerating was not correct. And so I said, she says, how do I handle this? And I said, well, in what way is he mistreating you? And she said, well, because he's not doing what I'm telling him to do.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. No joke. I know.
Oh my goodness.
So I said, do you really want an honest answer? And she said, yes. I said, are you sure you want me to tell you the truth? She said, yes, absolutely. I said, well, I said, for starters, have you thought about complimenting him and affirming the little things that he does by just saying, thank you. I really appreciate you doing that. Well, no. And so I started listing these things that I talk about in my book, and she would not have it. She hated me after that. And
yeah, well, nothing you can do. If people won't see, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, it has to be as you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's an example right there. Now that's extreme, but there's obviously varying forms of that we do. So
absolutely.
This is an example of a woman who was a man breaker, not a king maker. So, yes. So a man breaker is a woman who does these things, criticizes, demeans, and a kingmaker is a woman who affirms her husband. His heart is protected in her hands. You know what's interesting is in the game of chess, the woman, you have the queen and you have the king. The queen rules the board. She can wipe out any opponent on that board to protect the king. But her role in that game of chess is to protect the king. And so as women, you know, with this WIFM syndrome society that we're in, it becomes all about us and we forget to relearn how to protect the heart of our man. Because I interviewed some men as part of this research and it was shocking. I was really shocked because I didn't know this and I don't think most women do. But the number one denominator that to men is this. The most important opinion to them is that of their woman. And when she demeans him or gives him a subtle put down in a joking way, it's still a put down. And it's like taking a knife and just stabbing him in the heart with it. And we don't realize that as women, that that's how they feel. And I've interviewed I've been on other interviews with, you know, patriot leaders, major leaders, and they affirm that. They said, yes, that's true. The most important opinion to a man is that of his woman.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
And
we take it so for granted. We don't realize what this is doing. You know, it's to do with what you talked about at the beginning. There's a heart thing that comes with this. Now we may love our man very much and they might love us very much, but how are we expressing that? What are we doing? You know, this kind of stuff. So you really have to think, and the relationships, I think it's hard. A relationship needs to be worked at all the time. I think you would agree with me. You've got to work at a relationship.
Yes. Yes, you do. And as we get more skilled in learning, you know, the core principles that I talk about, I practice this in my marriage. I've been married to David for 10 years. And Molly, every year our marriage gets better and better. And we work together. We live together. We minister together. You know, we do. It's amazing. And it gives people hope because if I can do it, if I could, you know, I was very selfish, like I said, you know, I'm being very real and very honest and I'm very vulnerable in my book. And so it's everyone, you know, every part of us and every woman is going to be able to relate to some part of my book. And it's about creating awareness. Cause like you said, Molly, you know, we love our man and we're not intentionally doing things that are contributing to souring a relationship. Because I can tell you, I've met so many women who were married for 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, and all of a sudden their husband says, I don't love you anymore, and I'm getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And she's devastated because she has no idea what her role was to contribute to him feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we have his side of the coin and we have the woman's side of the coin. And right now, we're just talking about the woman's side of the coin. And so, but why did he say that? Well, what my book is going to do, Seven Mistakes book, is going to help you identify, okay, where am I doing this? Where am I doing that? Oh, I didn't realize I was doing this. And what's amazing is I had two editors and they're both happily married. They have good men and the both partners are emotionally healthy. But my editors, each of them, and they don't know each other, but they each independently said to me, you know, Joanna, the content in your book is really amazing. And they each said, one of them said, I am chapter seven, which is the director.
Yeah, and she's also known as the backseat driver.
I am chapter seven. Oh my gosh. And so, and then my other editor, she said, this has been transformational for me, Joanna, because as I'm reading the seven mistakes and things are being highlighted to me, I realize I'm doing some of these things with my husband, but now I'm aware and I'm immediately correcting it and shifting.
Yep.
That's the key right there.
If we don't realize and we don't take stock of where we're at and what we're doing, we are just going to keep on doing it and doing it and doing it and pushing it, you know, pushing each other further and further away, you know? And as you say, you're focused on the woman right now, but there's, you know, the same thing for the men. I mean, there's a male and a female relationship in a relationship, you know?
I am writing the book for the men as well.
Yes.
So before we've
got about 3 minutes left, but before we do that, I do want to know about the falling for fantasy, not reality. It's the last chapter in your book. And I think that's a very important chapter as well.
It is. And there's several components in that. And I'll just touch on one because we're short on time. But the one that gets women in trouble before they get married is that they are living in a fantasy realm where they are in love with the romance story. And they don't see the warning signs in their missed potential. And so because they're not wanting to look at the warning signs, they're not seeing them, they're choosing not to see them, it gets them into the wrong marriage. And that can take years off their life. And then the other one in the fantasizer is being in denial about a situation, being in denial about yourself, and not being willing to look at yourself to see what's happening, and then being able to address issues that are happening in the relationship, but be able to address them in the way that's it's going to have a better outcome. And so the being the fantasizer is huge because it keeps us in denial, it keeps us away from our blessing, and it really harms us, and it harms the people that we're around because we're either not willing to confront them because we're afraid, or we're not willing to look at the truth because we don't want to look at ourselves. So nobody wins in this situation.
Very, very interesting. Wow. Thank you for writing this book. I mean, I have to say, I was very honest at the beginning of the program when I said to you, you know, I had to sort of look at this and think, well, what has this got to do with, you know, my program? But your editor or whoever's doing your marketing for you had sort of said, yes, you need to listen. This is a great book. So give her kudos for me because it was, you know, we really pushed at me and I'd say, yeah, okay, we'll do it. You know, it's fine. And then the more I read, and what people don't realize is that Joanna is a Miss America. So tell us a little bit. Give me a very quick story about that. My goodness, that was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, that was a long journey and that's another book that's coming. But long story short, I won my first title in 2013 after I was in heaven and God gave me a complete transformation in heaven, which I'll share at a different point. But long story short, my first title led me to the third title, which is Ms. America 2019-21. And my platform is helping women discover their inner diamond within them, their identity and their self-confidence within themselves, because that's what God did for me when I was in heaven. And he told me that I was to crown girls and women, a royal princess of the King of Heaven, to remind them who they are.
That's so good. Well, let me know when the next book comes out because we'd love to have you back on. And again, all of the information about Joanna's book will be on our website. So go there. I'll show you how to do that. Last question for you very quickly. Is this also on a Kindle?
Yes, so it's on Amazon and Kindle and softback, and I'm also coming out with the workbook. The workbook's going to be released shortly, and it's a study guide that'll be a companion that will go with the book.
Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for writing this, Joanne. One wonderful, wonderful book. So thank you. God
bless
you,
Molly.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.